This is CliffCentral.com.
It's Steve Aoki with Felix Jen and Can't Go Home. Very nice. Dun, 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 dun. Yes, Ben.
Do you just have a folder there that just says music that 30-somethings drawl to?
I think I've been mixing it up lately. There's been a bit of old school.
Whenever I'm here, it's always that kind of Calvin Harris-y
kind of
house.
Maybe it's for you, Ben.
Well,
especially
Gareth,
for you.
That's much appreciated.
Yeah, I put it all together just so you would have something shit to listen to. That's what we need.
Yeah, it's your consistency that's your best quality, really.
Speaking of which, I've decided, you know, I'm upgrading various parts of my life that have been a bit of a mess, and I like to tidy up. You know, it's my favorite thing in the whole world. If you leave me alone somewhere, I will tidy up. It's what I do. We by the way, we cleaned the carpets here at cliffcentral.com.
Yeah, I noticed there was a sort of brightness to the floor here.
Yeah.
It wasn't so dull.
It didn't look like 100 years of dead insects had accumulated.
like old people's clothing is always like a dull color.
Yeah. So we've had the carpets cleaned yesterday. There was foam everywhere. It looked like one of those nightclubs in the late 90s.
And you were playing your playlist, obviously.
Yeah, that's right. That's where I got the inspiration for that song. But I'm upgrading my life in two places. The first one is I don't drink a lot of coffee, but I refuse from now on to drink shit coffee.
Ooh. Totally agree with you.
So I've got a machine in my office that does, and it's really because of Canthan Pillay, who does the Burning Platform, because he's given me such uphill, and he pulls such a sour face when he comes in here and has to drink a cup of brown from our urn.
No, life too short.
You know that granular crap that you buy in the
also
in
having
the tin.
Having an urn. It's like school camp in the 90s.
Yeah, an urn.
Go stand by the urn and get your tea.
Yeah. Okay. And put porridge.
Ben is now sharing his grievances that he's had for the longest of time.
So, the first place I'm upgrading my life is I've got decent coffee. One cup of coffee, or maybe two, depending on how busy the day is. But I'm only drinking the good stuff. So I've cut out the crap.
Coffee's like whiskey in that respect.
Yes, I think so.
Don't have the shit.
The other thing is, and I've been threatening to do this for years, but I've decided to get a better mattress. So instead of that thing that was filled with straw, or I don't know. I don't know what's in there. Barbed wire and camel's pubic hair or whatever. Sorry, it is.
That was it.
Yeah, it's been sitting in my...
That was the SF 4000 model, yeah. It's very well known for its camel pubic hair and...
Barbed wire. So I've decided to put that thing out to pasture. So I've got this huge big mattress.
What are you going
to
do with it? Because you don't live in an area where you can just put it on the road.
No, but there's this group of people that you call and they come and collect stuff like that and they just take it away in their buckies. And
really?
I don't know who they give it to or whether they sell it or whatever.
It's a gift of the grabbers.
I think it's called Gift of the Grabbers. Yeah. It's not Gift of the Givers. It's Gift of the Grabbers. That's right. So I'm getting rid of my shitty old mattress and I'm getting a proper one. So
I wonder how many people would be keen on win Gareth Cliff's old, shitty old mattress.
No.
The stories it could tell.
I wouldn't want to give it to anyone I knew. It's an old mattress.
Not someone you knew. I'm sure there's fans clamoring out there for a chance to run around in your mattress.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, but while I'm in it as well.
Well, you can't have everything.
That is horrific, yet also slightly true.
Yeah, it would actually probably get quite good uptake.
So I'll report back in the next few weeks on how I've improved in those two spheres.
I think we should raffle Gareth's mattress for charity.
No, I think that's a terrible idea.
10 rand gets you into the draw, and the money all goes to firefighting volunteer relief.
No, that's a terrible idea. I refuse. It's not available.
He's not bringing a cause into it.
I don't care. I'm not interested in
of firefighter relief.
How about that? I'm not interested in saving orphans or the fires in Cape Town if it means having to auction off my mattress.
So
when are you putting
it on the road?
I'm not.
I think your mattress should be like a flame barrier for the firefighters. So when they go beat, they stand behind your mattress.
I wonder if you just held it, if it would, the smell of it would be comforting.
God, like when
I
for
sake, you're a sick
you
human being.
Sicko.
All right, get out of here,
Gordon. How is comfort
had enough
sickening
of you for the day?
What? Why do you want to smell him?
All right,
it smells like
listen
friendship.
Here. This is important.
Smells like glad you're here only one day a week.
Yeah. Monday was World Cancer Day. You remember that? Cancer has affected everyone in some way or form. Yet there are still so many stigmas and unknowns around it. So Monday was World Cancer Day, and we partnered with Discovery to understand cancer better. It's a 10-part podcast series, topics like cancer in women, men and children, dealing with cancer financially, and a whole lot more are discussed. Sonia Booth hosts a series along with world-class doctors, oncologists, specialists, and more. Personal stories are shared, tears are shed, there's laughter, and there's anger, but most importantly, there is hope. Hear all about cancer in a way that is informative and fresh as your personal companion podcast. And the series plays out live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. on cliffcentral.com. All 10 episodes of the podcast are already available for you to download if you like to binge on the Cliff Central app or anywhere that you get your podcasts. Cool. Got it. Excellent. All right. What's going on in the news this week? What do we need to pay attention to?
Well, isn't Sonar coming up?
I think it's on Friday. Thursday.
Address?
Yeah. Do you care?
Can we throw fruit?
No.
Damn it. See, because that would draw me in. Like, you know, this whole, oh, who are you wearing? That kind of shit. I want, like, cabbage and just douse them in that crap. That is not their job.
Well, it's not hard, man. Like, I lived on the same block as Parliament, and they have this hectic barrier where you can't get in or out, and, like, people are protesting and trying to, like, you know, get close, and they keep you like 150 meters away. But if you say to them, I live in that building, guys, I got to get into my house, they're like, okay.
And they just let you through?
Yeah. They won't let you through if you like.
I've just gone vegetable shopping. I need to get to my house.
Yeah, I just got to get in with my groceries, dudes. I'm vegan. Hashtag and CrossFit.
No, this is Cape Town.
The point is, like the Oscars, which we've now decided should be thrown into the scrap heap of history, and nobody cares, and no one's going to watch the Oscars, and the fact that they don't have a host or anyone to entertain you during the course of the proceedings means it's just another awards show. So it may as well be Miss Germiston. The Oscars
you're
are going
to
be
like the East Rand. Yeah. First started with Miss Benoni, now Germiston.
The Oscars are going to be like Miss Germiston. So I reckon the Sona should also be relegated to the sidelines of history and should be one of those quaint things that was once done by people who wore starched shirts and top hats. It's time for it to be put away.
Completely. Really.
It's unnecessary. Who wants to see? First of all, nobody. No one in Parliament. And I've looked over it a few times. I used to think Lindiwe Sisulu looked okay because she was quite attractive. But I've got to tell you, there's not one of those people in there that I want to see in a dress or in a tux or in anything else. Just put them all in that Parliament. I don't care if they're wearing black rubbish
potato
bags.
Potato sacks.
Yeah, I'm not interested. These are not people who are in any way fit for the runway. Just let's put them in Parliament as quickly as we can. Let them hear the president's thing and get them out again and send them off on their merry way. Nobody needs to watch them parade around. It's horrible. It's boring. It's unattractive. It's unnecessary.
And the real Sona is already happening with the state capture inquiry anyway.
Right.
Because now Cyril's going to come out and he's going to probably try bastardize some other person's song with like that Tuma Mina he did the other time.
Right.
And then what? He's going to tell more lies about growth and the fact that we've got to do more as taxpayers and all that kind of shit. Blow it out your ass, Cyril. Spoiler alert. Blow it out your ass. Yeah. None of us want to hear the stuff anymore.
Obligatory EFF shouting everybody down and refusing to stop talking and then having to be that whole spiel. It's like, okay, guys, we get it.
We don't need it, right? So
can you just start by shouting someone down and then leaving EFF? Can we just do that up front, get it out of the way?
So are we all agreed? Can the Sona? Please.
Can Sona fuck off? The results are in. Brum, 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 brum. Gareth, over to you. What do the polls say?
It turns out that most people in the Northwest Province quite like the Sona but are not interested in actually watching it. Then, if we turn our attention to the Eastern Cape, as you can see on the board behind me, because this is what news people do now.
Fascinating stuff.
They have a board
Gareth.
Behind them, right? On the board behind me, you can see that 25% of women like the Sona, but only 5% of men.
That's a downward trend in give a fuck levels in the Eastern Cape.
That's true. And then if we turn to the fashion, here's Joanne.
Hi. So on the board behind me, we have a scoreboard for the person who squeezed their fat body into the tightest outfit. Gord, over to you.
I'm honored to have received that award this year, Gareth. Thank you for your kind words. I'm hoping to win it again next year. Make it five in a row.
Would he be wearing an underbelly pattern with a big hat?
It's paint. That's my secret. It's paint.
Is that how you squeezed in?
Yeah.
All right. I would love to have an honest, like Joan Rivers style appraisal.
Actually, it would actually be quite funny if a funny internet comedian went there and did like parody. Who are you wearing? Who are you wearing?
I'm wearing the guilt of everybody.
I'm wearing the suffering of a generation.
Who are you wearing? I'm wearing the debt of the Limpopo province.
I'm wearing the hopes and dreams of the
I'm wearing the hopes and
generation.
Dreams of every kid in Khayelitsha.
I mean, funny because it's clever wordplay. Tragic and sad because it's some bullshit. Yeah.
Oh, please. Don't get all PC on me, Gord.
I was hoping to host.
I'm
the,
wearing my
I'm
Bishar
hoping
surprise.
To host Miss Jemiston next year. I don't want to fuck my chances up. Those statuettes you get to take home and they're alive.
And where did you get that handbag from? Bisasa. That's your Bisasa. What is your Bisasa accessory this year? Oh, well, it's this hat.
You know how Lady Gaga went to the Oscars once in a meat dress?
Yeah.
See, or the Grammys or whatever it was.
Well, now, Scholar Putt went with a Vorse dress, which was even better.
Yes, as I remember one of my very first ever shows. Yeah, it was. If it wasn't my first, it was my second or third. And Scholar Putt was the guest, and I was like trying to be polite and like not get in the way, metaphorically speaking. Physically, that's kind of always a thing. But like, and Scholar Putt was here, and I was just like, this is not a normal human being. And then she got like upset with you because she wanted a sandwich and money to ride home.
She wanted 8 slices of brown bread and for Gareth to drop it back at the taxi.
That's right, yeah. A sandwich. Several sandwiches and a lift home.
And then she fell asleep on our couch for an hour while our next guest looked on.
Yeah, I was like, this place is zany. Yeah,
she had her feet up and everything.
She had a great time.
In fact, we must dig out that interview and just like run it one more time because it was the most bizarre thing.
We'll play it.
It was the most bizarre shit that's happened since I've been doing this, which is close on a year and a half now, and some bizarre shit's happened.
That's right up there.
That's up there.
But really, I mean, like Bisasa should sponsor a dress made entirely out of 200 rand notes.
Yeah.
For one of them to wear. One of their captured people.
Pension grants. They should take people's forms that they need to get their pension, take them away and make dresses out of them.
And say, this is, we're literally, figuratively, and every other way thumbing our noses up at the poor. Because that's what it is.
But you know that brand Supreme? That hype beast crap.
What?
Supreme, that brand?
What is Supreme?
Clothing brand.
Of course you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I've got you.
But it'd be quite funny if people wore dresses and it was just Bisasa logos, just like people have been wearing this like Supreme thing.
That's funny. That would be hilarious. Okay, I think we've come up with some ideas.
See, this is
Let's
why
put them on the table.
If government listened to us, this country would be A, successful, and B, very, very funny.
Yeah, fabulous as hell as well.
Yeah, that's it.
Yes, very fabulous. I remember there was a one occasion where that woman wore a dress and it got lots of attention at the Sona. She was some MP, ANC MP, and she got a lot of attention because her booty was quite extravagant.
Yes, it's disruptive as hell. And like also the vibe as well. I understand some top-level politicians need some sort of military escort, like one police car to make sure no one assassinates them and that kind of crap.
Right.
But this like slow, deliberately ostentatious, obnoxious cavalcades of cars coming in slowly, blocking one side of Duval Drive so they can come in. It's like, dude, you need one police car, 2 motorbikes, and sit in traffic like everybody else. Like, no, every politician from useless to totally fucking useless and all the way up the hierarchy has to come in with like a spectacle throughout the entire day. Sirens all the time, dickheads. I mean, see, how small can your micro penis be? It's a nano penis at that point.
It is the month of love, though.
Go on to penises. Yeah. Talking of penises.
Micro penises. It's the month of love, so there's a lot of pressure on people to come up with things to do for Valentine's Day that are a little bit different. And everybody does the same thing over and over again year after year.
Send her a nice bath photo of your balls.
Yeah, like Alan Hardy.
Alan Hardy. What other interesting new opportunities are there thanks to technology? I heard a story yesterday about a guy who woke up and he had to fly to Cape Town and his wife dropped him off at the airport and he realized on the plane that he'd forgotten it was her birthday.
Oh, dick.
So while the plane was still parked and about to leave, he phoned someone and said, listen, you've got to organize me a bunch of flowers with a note that says, "You thought I'd forgotten, didn't you?" to meet her back at home when she gets home. But it's got to be delivered like ASAP. And she got it in time, and she thought he was the most romantic man in the world.
Nice. Good save.
That's a save, right?
But how did it now become known? How is this on the public record if he's obviously years later told someone?
I think someone must have told someone, or maybe he eventually opened up
and told
him.
So there's always hope.
There's hope. But you could screw up something bad like a, you know, forgetting a birthday or not doing anything special for Valentine's Day and still save yourself. I do like those stories. That's real heroism.
Valentine's Day is fun, and it's not like one of those things where I'm curmudgeonly and Kopinski-ish enough to like want to call bullshit on it just for no good reason. A lot of people make a night of it, and it's, you know, more power to them. But it is one of those things where I think it's a bit like, ugh, meh. You know, like if I'm involved with someone, I don't want to need that reason to do sweet things, give them flowers, whatever. It's like, it should be love time all the time. But also it's like so hallmarky and tacky and that kind of thing. So like if you are going to do something, had that not been a last-minute save, that would have actually been a pretty cool and sweet thing to do on Valentine's Day. Because, like, the huge is, that was birthday. Okay, so, yeah. But that kind of example, like, you get home and it's like, oh, you thought I forgot, it's here waiting for you. Like, do something creative, because the standard red tinfoil heart-shaped chocolates.
Well, you're creative. What would you do if you were in a pinch and had to come up with an idea? Let's say it was tonight. Come on, you Mr. Creative. Don't you get paid for this stuff?
I would go and buy the premium Vaseline with the Ylang Ylang and herbal infusions. I'd get one of those KFC KFC gravy candles. Have you seen those? KFC gravy scented candles. Real thing. I'd get one of those for me. I'd get myself a 9-piece Boxmaster, and I'd arrive and there'd be like, there'd be Tom Jones playing. Now, I'd ease in. I'd start with Barry White, go on to Tom Jones.
What's new, Pussycat?
I would treat myself to some big screen time with the curtains closed, and then finish with a nice glass of scotch.
Interesting point there, Gord, because you fit into actually the third highest spend by Americans on Valentine's Day yourself. That's the third highest spend.
Okay.
But what's the second? Because presumably first is spend on someone else, on yourself.
I'll get into it. Hang on.
What's second?
So this year, it's expected $30 billion will be dropped by Americans participating in Valentine's Day.
See?
Your highest spend is husband to wife. That'll average around $357.
Oh, is the second?
What, per person?
This is your average. So husband to wife is the biggest expenditure on Valentine's Day.
$357 US on average.
That's a lot of money.
Dude, that's like
two husbands,
six grand.
Okay, in comparison, two husband from wife is $206.
Significant drop, by
the way. Two girlfriend from boyfriend, $230. Two boyfriend from girlfriend, $105.
What's the from husband to mistress count?
Very good question. That is undisclosed here.
So those are three categories. Undisclosed. Which one of those is beneath self to self?
Well, there's many. I mean, some people spend average on $95 for their pet cat, which is slightly higher than $81 for their pet dog. But essentially, the highest spend is
husband
to wife. Myself average is $235.
In the light of a lot of
So it's better than the boyfriend to girlfriend average.
Yeah,
damn right it is. I deserve to be loved.
You know what? There's quite a disparity between husband to wife and wife to husband. It's worth noting.
Mm. We don't talk about those kind of things because those are not the statistics on gender equality that
Bigger discrepancy between girlfriend to boyfriend, boyfriend to girlfriend.
Of course, because the guy's still trying.
Yeah.
But husbands have already won, but they're still trying to score goals.
The husbands are spending the most money.
Because they don't get laid, like they have to work really hard to get laid. Like you've won her hand, not her genitals.
There's a lot of guilt because of the whole mistress thing that Sierra brought up. That's why husbands spend more to wife.
Oh, that's also a good point.
So if you're in for $357 to your wife, imagine what you're in for the mistress. I reckon you're rounding out a grand of Valentine's Day.
It might just be to get a marble. I remember my brother was get a marble. My brother was greatly influenced by his former boss and mentor, in and I won't mention which industry, etc. But he got engaged, my brother, and his very dear friend slash mentor slash boss came to him and said, "I heard you got engaged. Congratulations. Here's a glass, fishbowl type glass full of clear marbles." Mm-hmm. And my brother said, "Well, what is this?" And he said, "This is your engagement marbles." And then he gave him a second bowl that was empty. And he said, "Every time you get laid or a blowjob, now that you're engaged, take a marble out of the full marble bowl and put it in the empty marble bowl and see how long it takes to get however many across before your marriage. And then once you're married, see how long it takes to get them back into the other bowl." And that's what I think this is about. It's like when you
how romantic.
You have to release the genitals to get the hand.
That's very
thank you, Gord. What a spectacular philosophical end to that discussion.
Romance is my middle name.
That's amazing. All right, do you want to turn your attention to your finances?
Always.
Of course you do. So, let's do this. We'll think about our money for a second, shall we? Let's go ahead and make this sensible this Wednesday morning. Well, investing tax-free is better than saving tax-free. I'll tell you why. Why bank tax-free when you can invest tax-free? Leading investment house Coronation manages the long-term savings of millions of South Africans, and if you have a pension fund, retirement annuity, or unit trust, they may even look after yours. There's a huge amount of financial expertise and knowledge contained within the walls of Coronation, and today they want to help you to be smart with your money by showing you how tax-free savings and investment are the way to go. It's a gift from government. And we've got Christo on the line. You remember Christo Lingenfeld, who we spoke to just the other day. Christo, it's a pleasure to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm very well, and yourself, Fred.
Excellent. Tell me, we'll get straight into the important information, Christo. Why bank tax-free when you can invest tax-free? I mean, this seems like an obvious thing.
Yeah, so Gareth, maybe the first thing I'd say is for those still looking for Valentine's gifts for their partners, maybe they can consider a tax-free investment. It's not a bad gift.
It's not the most romantic, but it's probably long-term the best.
Yeah, let's see how it goes. Yeah. So really, the first thing I'd like to say is congrats to everyone who already has this tax-free investment. Yes. Yeah, it's great to take initiative to start saving early. But the other message I just want to get across is to those investors or those potential investors who haven't invested yet, don't think it's too late. It's never too late to start. Mm-hmm. And when you think about investing, especially in a tax-free investment, you effectively have two choices. You either save the money with the bank, and it seems to us like a lot of people have gone that route, or you think long-term, you appreciate that you have many years to save for, and you rather put your money to work. And what we mean by that is you give yourself a higher chance of getting growth on your investments. And that's what we talk about. Rather invest your money than simply save it with the bank.
So last time you let us in on the ultimate tax hack, which is a gift from government, tax-free investing, and why it's a great idea for anyone who has 250 Rand or more to put away every month for their future. You remember you told us that your money can work harder for you, and you've just reiterated that if you invest rather than just save it with a bank. But can you explain why that is? I mean, what are the interest rates at the moment? What do you get on saving in a bank, and what can you get out of investing?
Yeah, it's a great question. So if you invest with a bank today, or you save with the bank today, effectively what they give you is an extremely predictable rate of interest. So at any stage, you can go to the bank and they'll effectively give you something very similar to a quote, and they can tell you, listen, today, we can give you, let's say, 4-4.5%. Or if you're lucky, we can give you as much as 6-7%. The reality is that in most cases, while having the luxury of it being predictable, that simply isn't enough for most investors. Because the key that investors need to think about is, how do I beat inflation over time? What has happened over time is we know that there are certain financial assets that give you a much better chance of beating inflation over time. Think about shares, think about property, think about bonds. So if you have 100 rands today, and you can buy 100 rands worth of goods today, just simply because of inflation in South Africa, well, you need more than that in a year's time. You'll need 105, 106 rands.
Right.
So your investment needs to grow at that rate or more in order for you to generate wealth for yourself. So Gareth, I mean, if I can give you some examples, we looked at historical data in South Africa, and it's astonishing that over the last 90 years, if you had 1 rand 90 years ago and you saved that 1 rand with the bank through, call it a money market account, mm-hmm. That 1 rand in 90 years time can only buy you goods worth 1 rand and 15 cents. So you virtually just went sideways. You really didn't generate any additional wealth for yourself.
No good.
Over the same time period, if you invested that 1 rand into the market, into South African shares, you would be able to buy goods to the value of 540 rands. That's 540 times your purchasing power over 90 years. That's an incredible difference.
Well, it sounds like an obvious move. A lot of people, though, would be concerned about practical day-to-day stuff. So, for example, let's say that you put away this money. Does that mean that you cannot withdraw it? It's tied up.
That's absolutely not true. So because you invested in a tax-free investment product, you have unrestricted access to your money. So there is no commitment from your side to have to lock yourself in. You invest the money, and at any stage, you can access the money again. It literally, you know, there's just an administrative process around it. It takes a day or two for you to have your money back. But again, I just have to reiterate that while you have access to it, you need to think long and hard whether you really want to access the money. Because remember, you use up your lifetime allowance. You only have that one 500,000 rand lifetime allowance. And if you take your money out, you can never top that money back up.
Sure. All right. Are there costs, hidden costs around this? I mean, are there things that we need to disclose up front about whether it's expensive to do this kind of investment?
No, there aren't. So it does not cost you anything over and above what you typically pay for an investment. So whether you choose to invest tax-free or not, at least you have the luxury of not having to worry about any additional costs. There are no other additional costs involved.
All right, very good. And quickly, if you're already saving, is it a hassle or is it costly to switch from being a saver to an investor?
No. So again, because of let's say everyone trying to encourage people to save more in a tax-free environment, they've made it extremely easy to switch. So if you have a tax-free savings account with a bank, it's very easy to port that over to an investment manager like Coronation. The best port of call, in my view, is to either just give us a call, you know, or any other investment manager you want to invest with, or if you do have a financial advisor, chat to them, ask them to assist you with it.
Very good. What are we going to cover next time, Krista?
Well, Gareth, next time's our last chat, and effectively what we just want to drill down into is for those first-time investors, people who perhaps think it's daunting to start, they don't know where to go, effectively we just want to chat about the two key decisions you have to make. So firstly, who do I choose in terms of trusting with my money? Which investment manager do I pick? And once I've decided on that, which of their funds do I think is most suitable for my needs?
Very, very good. Thank you, Krista. I think the key lessons that we could take away from our chat here are the difference between saving and investing. And while saving is a good thing to do, you can make much more money and make it work much harder for you over the long term if you invest it rather than you just leave it in the bank. And of course, axing your tax. How do you like that, Gord? That's a nice saying. Ax your tax.
Ax your tax, man.
Right. Axing your tax
just
is
relax
a bonus.
And ax your tax. You won't look back when you take it to ax to your tax. And just like, get some snacks, relax.
And
ax your tax.
Using that gift from government, you can build up your nest egg over time and not be taxed on it when you withdraw your money.
You'll have it waxed. If you
shut up, Gord. Go to cliffcentral.com for more info. See you next week on this interesting discussion. And you can join Krista again for the ultimate episode in this special series brought to you by Coronation. Okay, how about we shine a light on some local cinema, local film. So Leva Lisa is a movie that's been made by two talented guys. They're also brothers, Hendrik and Johan Cronier. The first time production by the pair, it's already creating a lot of noise and causing a lot of interest in the movie business in South Africa. The release is on the 14th of February, which is, of course, Valentine's Day. Is that coincidental?
No, that's planned.
That was planned. Very good move. And we can find out a little bit about the movie from the team who've put it together. So, first of all, guys, congratulations. I know how hard it is to put together movies and how expensive it is and how difficult it is to go from the idea to the actual production to have a product. And then before you know it, it's in cinemas. So that deserves a lot of congrats. How hard has this journey been and how exciting has it been?
I would say it's harder than we actually thought of in the beginning. We didn't expect it. We knew it's going to be hard, but and people say it's hard, but in the end, it's harder.
It's like having a child. Everybody warns you it's going to be the most difficult thing ever, and you think, yeah, it can't be that bad, but it is that hard. And we're still recovering from it. I'm still shaking. But at the end of the day, you kind of do it, and you have something to show for it, and that's really something. It's really a reward.
What's the basic story here? I mean, what's the plot line?
Well, it's a guy who's got a big future ahead of him, you know, he's ticking all the boxes for a very successful, safe life. Mm-hmm. And he kind of starts to think, but there's got to be more. I mean, is this it? I go to school, I study, and I start my career, and then I die. And he kind of thinks...
That's where Gord is at the moment, yeah.
Kind of dying. Yeah, I'm honest.
No. In terms of, like, you've been very safe, Gord. You've been very
safe.
Yeah,
jeez. Look at me. I'm so orthodox, I should be Hasidic.
So what happens?
And then he starts to make mistakes, almost on purpose. And
like a bit of self-sabotage?
Yeah, like having sexual relations with older women and stuff like that. And
did you say older women or older women?
All the women.
Older. Yeah, we're older. From the Free State. Our English kind of...
No.
It gets you in trouble, you know?
I'm just interested in the difference, because that's a plot line.
Well, then that plot line, and that's where the film got inspired from, is from The Graduate. So I watched The Graduate. I went home and I started writing this, and that plot line, Mrs. Robinson, we borrowed it. I borrowed it, but the film is something totally different. Mm. Then it's that kind of propels him into this journey, and he kind of gives up on life in a stage, and he meets this guy who's got a big history, and you kind of learn from him, and then he puts
it's like
him
a mentor role.
Yes, but it's not, because someone asked us yesterday, isn't it boring? Because it kind of sounds people talking and, you know, thinking about life all the time, but it's not.
No. I mean, it's hard to tell. It's like, you know, if someone says to you, oh, you've written a 500-page book. Tell me what the story is briefly.
Yeah.
It's never going to come across as well when you're actually sitting in the movie watching the story unfold, right?
At the end of the day, it's just a guy discovering his passion, and there's a different angle towards it where people tell you follow your dreams, you're going to make it. It's not necessarily true.
And it's got MILFs.
Yes, exactly. But
MILF
but
one.
There's a lot of people who kind of leave everything, you know, you follow your dream and you're going to be okay. It's not necessarily true.
So tell me quickly, because I mean, your background, Hendrik, you've been on TV quite a lot. You've been on 7 de Laan and you've played the, you're the leading role in this one.
Yes.
So how hard was it to be director, producer and actor?
Yeah, but listen, he was the lead role because they didn't have money to pay anybody else.
Oh, so you took salary sacrifices.
Yes.
Oh my God.
No, it's...
Poor man.
It's okay, because writing something is one thing, and then you get on set, then you're directing it, so the script dies. You kind of think as a director. I think as a director all the time, until we say, okay, let's count. Then in that split second, I become the actor. And then I act, and then I'm a director again. Then in editing,
so
I see...
you can compartmentalize these things.
I do.
Because it must be difficult. I mean, it's a lot of different hats. Sometimes, I don't think a lot of people can do that. I mean,
and you got to presumably direct other people.
Yes, yeah, you do. Yeah. You do.
Like,
but
you got to act and then go, no, wait, stop. Do this differently.
I don't think about myself as an actor on set. Just as soon as we call action, I only turn into an actor. It is difficult, but it's adrenaline, I think, that takes me. I think I'm an asshole on set because I'm kind of thinking
all, over the
place. All the time. Yeah. People come to me and they ask me questions like, can I give people water? And I'm like, sorry?
How's this your problem?
How can you ask me something like that?
Yeah. Isn't that why you pass it on to him?
Yes.
I mean, pass it on to your brother.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes. But
so, Johan, you get the shit job of like having to sort out where the water is.
Yeah. Yeah. And running around. Yeah. It's a
shame. I'm sorry.
And being good cop.
And bad cop.
Yeah. And taking, you know, we're always joking, like, who's taking the one for the team today, you know? Yeah. So, because we've been almost arrested many times.
Why?
Because we kind of shoot in places that you're not necessarily supposed to.
Oh, you don't get the permissions and all of that stuff.
It takes a lot of time.
Sometimes we
guerrilla
do, but then
tactics.
You work with people that don't remember them giving
But this
you
is the real hard work of filmmaking that people don't understand, because they imagine that you've got this endless budget and you've got catering.
Exactly. When they hear a movie, they think, oh, yeah. But
you guys are like trying to scrounge together two or three cameras.
It sounds like you guys have like done this independently. Have you funded it yourself? I mean, not only you working for free because it's your movie and you're not being hired by someone else to act in their movie, but also like you paying to do it. And these things are not cheap, even if you do take chances with locations and call in favors from friends. I mean, how did you fundraise for a thing like this? No movie's
that's
cheap.
That's
100%. You're right. It's 100% independent. I think it's the only film ever.
Ever.
I must be corrected. That's not been funded via the government, via CakeNet, via anybody else outside of.
Really?
Us.
You guys went and found. How did you find the money? What did you promise them in return? What have you been doing?
He just said we did something.
You take one for the team.
Shame. I'm sorry, Hendrik. You had to sleep around so you could pay for your movie.
Well, don't shame me.
I'll give you $500.
He's handsome as damn it. Let's face it.
Oh,
I mean,
thank you.
Do what you can with what you got, bro.
Who's in the movie?
Well, it's Zayn Mears. Yes. People might remember. He was in a lot of stuff. He's a senior actor. He was in Siemlon and I think Scandal. And he's been in a show that was an Afrikaans, very famous. Or maybe, I don't even know if it was Afrikaans, but it was a rugby series years ago in the 80s. Zayn Mears, Albert Maritz, Barbara Marie Immelman, and the leading lady is Yelani Dekker.
So, the thing about Afrikaans movies is that they've actually done really well.
Yeah.
There have been some movies. Who did we have in here the other day? We had Ivan Buerta in here.
Yeah.
He's put together some movies.
Yes.
I mean, he was telling me, like, they are producing 2 movies a year or something.
No, they've
working,
made
man.
They've Money. Made 3, but they really did well.
Yeah.
You
and
have
he's
to give
made
it to
money.
Them.
Like, he's yes. actually... He's, and people go to the cinema and then they bring their friends and they bring their families and like the thing is packed out. Like movies don't usually get like that in South Africa.
I can't for the life of me remember the name, but I remember also just being in the movies at some point in the last year or so. And like the trailers come on and it's always like product, product, movie. And then this like post-apocalyptic desert shit and these oaks with guns and knives and then people are on the run. And I'm like, it's kind of a Mad Max meets like... serial killer thing.
A local,
and suddenly,
local movie?
Next thing you know, Irks are like, Hartlup, hey, come. And I'm like, what? Like, this full-on thing with dudes in, like, flak jackets and machine guns.
Yeah,
like,
no,
wow.
Ours isn't like that. I like stories about people. I'm not into aliens and stuff. I really want to see people in a film. But at the end of the day, we really went out of our way to make a film that's beautiful. Because you can say, yeah, it's a local production and we don't have money or whatever. The world is out there.
The audience don't care.
Yeah.
But we care.
Yeah,
and we really do.
No, I mean the audience care
and
about
quality.
Yes, they do. I prefer
smart movies over Hollywood-looking movies.
Exactly.
My point was just that it really surprised me it was an Afrikaans thing because it looked like such a big production.
But probably, I don't know, I haven't seen that. It's easy to make something look like a big production in a 2-minute trailer. But watch our trailer.
Okay.
It's on YouTube, Liva Lisa. And then everything you see on that screen, I picked out myself. I went down to the West Coast and I found those places. It's in the sea now. It doesn't exist anymore. But yeah, we really went out of our way
it's amazing to be able to put something like that together.
Tell me quickly, Liva Lisa, it sounds like a love story. And that sells. People love that, especially around Valentine's Day, which is why I opened up with that question. So at the center of this, is this the love story? So it's you and... Yelani Dekker and this is what happens.
Yes, but it's not a typical love story.
Okay.
And I really worked hard on that to kind of not,
because a lot of it can be cheesy.
Exactly.
I mean, like, I've seen a few movies that are,
and almost, it's the same thing all over again.
You know, they're almost childish. It's almost like, wow, we're in love and nothing bad ever happens, so except that they break
boy meets
up
girl, loses girl, overcomes obstacle, gets the girl.
So it's
not that
a typical addiction.
That's the formula for it.
That's the formula. You can write a film like that. We can sit here and write a film, but Livelisa, you're gonna think in the first half, okay,
I've worked this out.
I've seen this. Then in the second half, you kind of and I really, I'm sweating in the first 45 minutes because I want people to just get, you know, to the second 45 minutes, and I'm really proud of the second 45 minutes. I think we're telling something, and I'm not preaching, not at all, but it's I think everybody can relate in a way, because like I said, it's not everybody who follows their dreams that makes it, and what about that guy? And
so what have you been eating while you were making this movie?
Because sounds like hard work.
Johan's been feeding me.
You've had to sacrifice a lot, right?
Yeah.
Seriously, guys.
No, I mean, we did.
This is not fun.
People, no, it was. It's like, I'm not trying to be dramatic. There were nights, like 2 weeks in a row, I would sleep, go through the night working four times, you know, and then you sleep for 2 hours. That's your normal routine, and you go on again, because we did the post production as well. So that was stupid.
Well, what would be a success? I mean, how many people have to come and see this movie for you guys to break even or make a profit?
That's a good question. Because you get a little back from what people pay at the cinema for the ticket, because there's a lot of people that take their cut.
Sure, I mean, the cinema takes a huge slice, and distributors.
Yeah,
and
but I worked out about, if we can get 200,000 people to the cinema, it would be
a lot,
good. That's a lot, but then we would be smiling, I guess.
But you have a run then on TV, and you know, and you can sell it.
Oh, we hope we get.
And haven't you already had interest from people like CakeNet? I mean, they've got a whole movie channel now.
Yes, but because we independent, we haven't heard from them.
So do you have to approach them, or must they approach you?
I don't know. If CakeNet are listening, please give us an email.
I would go knock on their door.
We will definitely.
It brings me to the similar question, like, how do you get it into cinemas? Do you have to take a complete roll of the dice and go, we're going to make this whole thing, then go talk to the cinema people, and they might say, sorry guys, not for us.
That I didn't know, because I just wanted to make films since I can remember. That's all I wanted to do. So I've got a lot of scripts lined up, actually. I wrote that, and I went home, and after watching The Graduate, and I said, this is the first film I'm going to make, because it's a small cast, and I thought it's going to be easy. That it wasn't. But then I took the script, and I emailed it to Starkinikor, and the guy came back to me. He says, okay, give me a week or two, and I'll read it, and I'll give you a response. And he read it, and he came back to me and says, they like it. They want to meet me. And I'm like, okay, cool. I fly down to Joburg. I meet them. And they're like, okay, how are you going to do this? I don't have a plan. I'm like, it's okay. I've got these guys going to have this. It's like, okay,
I'll make my brother go out.
But then that's years ago. He wasn't.
Don't worry, my brother's got water.
He was still running overseas then. There was no even, you know, no idea of him joining me. And I just wanted to make films. So I went out, started looking for funding, and it fell through many times. And I took a day job eventually at the advertising company and all that stuff. I went through all that phases. Mm-hmm. And eventually, after funding falling through a couple of times, I was with the IDC. I was with everyone. And we actually, the IDC would have funded us, but that's a different story. Then he came aboard. And it happened kind of quickly.
What were you doing before this, Johan?
It's a difficult. Well, I can actually say I was a professional athlete.
Okay. Well, that's a hell of a jump from there to filmmaker. And did your brother just force you into this with giving you no option? Or?
No. You see, I was always entrepreneurial while I was doing my athletics. Yeah.
What athletics did you do?
So I did the 1500 and the mile, basically.
Okay.
He's the SA record holder in the 1500. And I'm going to give him some rubbing
props. Sure.
And you
believe, like when you were kids, he must have said at some family dinner or something, I'm going to be an actor.
Never. He never said it.
He never said it?
No. That was like my secret. I had it in me. I was lying in bed sweating. But I was reading all the time as a kid, you won't believe it because I can't speak English, but I can write and understand it very well. But I've been reading since I can remember. I went with my mother to the library and she got her books and I got my books. So I've been into stories since I can remember. That's the thing. Well. So I'm having ideas for stories daily. It's just the one you decide to write down. And then at the end of the day, I don't feel I have enough years to make all the stories.
What I'm asking is, like, when you're growing up, I mean, you must have realized he has this creative streak. He wants to tell stories, all these kinds of things. A lot of parents would go, oh, no, please, please, I don't want an actor for a son because it's going to mean I have to support them for the rest
of the life. Can I tell you a story? when I was the first thing I told my mother I wanted to be, I was a kid in primary school. I remember this so well. I said to her I wanted to be an actor. She said to me, they die of hunger.
No jokes. That's a good
I never said it to anyone ever again until I got a part in Seven Delon. I'm not joking. I told my dad.
Did you quietly and secretly go about your acting?
I was 21.
I drove up and down between Bloom and Joburg for auditions.
Yeah. I got a part in Seven Delon, so I told my dad, I think I'm moving to Joburg. He's like, why? I'm like, now I'm going to be in this TV show. He's like, Seven Delon. He's like, are you sure?
Yeah, he thought it was rubbish. What do your parents do?
Well, my dad's a retired lawyer. Mm-hmm. Farmer. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
And my mother is at the university. She's
sports department.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's just interesting that one of you ended up as an athlete and one of you ended up as an actor.
Well, now our parents were both athletes. Like,
oh, were they?
Yeah. Our mother was like
good genes.
So did you hear about the thing and like catch the passion and say, shit, I want to be involved? Or were you sequestered with no choice?
I sent him the script. That's the only thing I do. I don't talk about the film too much. I send people the script. And if they take the time to read it, then usually they like, I like the story. So, yeah.
No, so he's got a knack to tell a story at a certain way, which is not typical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was at that stage in 2016, at the end of 2016 with the Olympic Games, where I got another operation in my groin. So I decided,
Oh, so you gave up on athletics
actually,
then.
It's on the same time. And we had a little small boutique asset management company.
Okay, that helps.
And when I left,
if you have a sport injury, it's nice to have a little boutique asset management company just hanging around if movies come along or a groin strain.
Well, we had to work to put it up, but so when I left athletics, all my time went into the business, and I just realized within months that. I'm not a happy person getting home. It's basically, it links up to the story that he wrote.
Yeah.
So it's that typical thing you do. You get up in the morning, you go to your work, you do it, you have make money and what then?
And then you're living this safe life.
Yeah. So yeah. I just decided I'm going to take a risk and I left that on the side and joined him, and now we're here.
It's pretty phenomenal. I mean, to be able to do something like this, you must be proud, Johan.
Yeah, exciting.
I'm
like dying
to see
it.
You must be thrilled, right?
We are, but we still feel we could have done
better.
That's our first one.
It's our first one, but we're going to make more films.
Let's just talk about your career so far. So you've been in Seven Delon, Lucas in Seven Delon. after that, Tropica Island of Treasure in Zanzibar. How did that go?
Well, I was drinking a lot. I don't know. That was just a couple of weeks.
Okay.
That wasn't.
And then you've done a couple of movies already. You've done some movies, right? You did Critter and.
Yeah, I was in it. I was in it as an actor, but I was sitting there like, I just want to make films. I hate people directing me, and I'm sitting there with my wardrobe like an idiot. I want to make films. I want to. Yeah. I don't want to sit there in another guy's film.
So what's your company called?
Well, I don't know. Cronier Compagnie. And then...
There we go.
Yeah,
we go.
It's Cronier Compagnie, but then we started the different kind of branch Compagnie Stories.
Okay.
Stories. Compagnie Stories. Yeah.
Well, this is very impressive. I'm hoping that it goes well. Tonight's your special VIP screening, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many people are going to get free seats this evening that comes out of your
not too much, not
your
too much.
200,000 that you need to break even or to make some money?
Well, at the premiere we was about just over 100 in Cape Town, and today I think it's more or less 80, give or take.
Well, guys, congratulations. Good luck. I hope it goes really well.
Thank you.
And you know what? Let's make lots of good movies.
Yes, yeah. That's the most important thing. We really want to tell good stories and make it solid.
Right.
You know, it doesn't have. I don't. Even if you have budget constraints, you can be creative in that.
Well, and you're showing everybody the way. I'm very impressed. This is excellent.
Well, Werner Herzog was a big influence.
Who's Werner Herzog?
He's a German crazy director. He says, just get away with film. That's his low. It doesn't matter what you have to do. And we did a lot of stuff to get away with film. And that's the only thing that matters.
All right, very good.
I'm keen to see it. I genuinely will go watch it. And
the movie's called Liebe Lisa.
I might only understand like 80% of it.
It's got subtitles.
Oh, there we go.
Yes.
See, good.
I'm Afrikaans is okay, but I'm good enough.
Don't embarrass yourself. Read the subtitle.
Yeah, I'll do both.
You'll get the story all mixed up.
I'm keen. So Valentine's Day, and it's open. It's everywhere, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's basically everywhere. We didn't want to put it out everywhere because it costs some money to get it everywhere.
Yeah.
But in the end, all the distributors asked for it. New Metro asked for it.
Great.
Some of the independent films.
That's a very good
sign. So it is a good sign. Yeah. But it costs money.
Well, best of luck, guys.
Thank you. Congratulations. Thank you for having us.
So there's Hendrik and Johan Krenier, and the movie's called Liebe Lisa. It comes out on the 14th of Feb, just in time for Valentine's Day. There's something you can do with your girlfriend or boyfriend.
I'll take myself on that before the big night.
Right, there we go, Gord. Treat yourself, Gord.
So will.
All right, thanks, everybody. Here's the unnews. All of South Africa's MPs are getting ready for Sona. It's something they all get very excited about because they get to strut their stuff on the red carpet and hope to pick up a new political blesser for the new year. Now, with all the heat around Basasa right now, 2019 bribes may be hard to come by, so expect them to pull out all the stops with a spotlight on here. Someone who's less worried about their Sona outfit is Cyril Ramaphosa. He's has lies to create after being covered, having covered so many. He's having a tough time now. He'll probably revert to bastardizing another Hugh Masekela song like he did with Tumamina. This may even end up in him playing a trumpet at some stage as well. And finally, Qatar has hit back at Amnesty International's claims that they're still treating migrant labourers badly. They said this is no longer the case. For example, the workers get to see a photo of their passports once a week now. They only have to share a single bed with two other men, plus whoever predicts who dies next on their construction site wins a small cash reward. So it's getting better.
The death lotto!
Yes, it's great news. All right, we will see you tomorrow at 6 o'clock, bright and early. Have an excellent day in the company of CliffCentral.com.
Yeah. This is CliffCentral.com.